Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Amen. Well, if you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll start there around verse 7 in this, and we'll look at this scripture today, but we'll look at it in many different ways. I know that it's always a joke when I say this because there's someone actually in the room that loves winter. Go ahead, put up your hand. There he is at the back. And there's a couple others around too that love winter. I love winter when it comes with toys. But the rest of the stuff that usually winter comes with is difficult because all the shoveling and all the rest of the stuff, I don't like cold, all of that kind of stuff in there. But it feels as though the last while or the last season has been a perpetual winter that I'm ready for spring. Anybody else? I am so ready for spring, but in some ways I feel stuck in the season of winter. In fact, I've even seen change that I haven't been able to jump into yet. I don't know if anybody else has been experiencing this, but I've seen good things begin to happen and wanted to jump in the middle of it, but felt so exhausted and so numb that it's like I can't jump into the change. In fact, it feels like spring has already come. We're already in the midst of summer, and I still haven't recognized that winter's gone. Come on now. There's something, a sense of that in all of us, that it's like, Lord, we are looking for this season of perpetual winter, the season that has lasted so long to be finished and be done. I was challenged this week by the Lord with a phrase or with a question. Sorry, this is what the Lord does to me. He likes to ask me questions. People call me at times, they call me the question guy because I like to ask questions in there. And sometimes it gets me in trouble. But I like to ask questions in the midst of it. But God loves to ask me questions. And he says, has this season, this past season for you, Rod, has it been the tomb or has it been a cocoon? Are you ready? Do you? And here was the thing is, believe it or not, I get to decide. That we, and I will say we here today, we get to decide whether this last season has become the tomb or whether it was a cocoon to begin to launch us into something brand new. Have you ever seen, you've seen a chrysalis or seen a butterfly just emerge? Maybe you've seen it on TV or you've seen it in a video. I've seen it live. We were at the, at a concert. I've seen it live, we were at Niagara Falls and, the butterfly conservator or whatever the thing is called now. And we actually saw this butterfly. And it wasn't like everything just sort of opened up and it fell off of him. The cocoon did. And then he emerged. Woohoo. Look at me. It was kind of a fight. It was a real fight. There was a pushing. It was just ucky, gooey junk all over it. And there was this sense of just having to push to move into its next season of life. And what was interesting, even I remember talking to the guy that was there talking about that if they don't push, once the SIF starts, if they don't push, it can possibly bring death. You get that sense of not birthing into the next. And this last season has been a cocoon and is not going to be a tomb. Amen? Are you with me? That I believe that it's the dawning of a new day, a new life, and I am ready to decide. And you say, how do you get to decide? I don't fully understand yet in all of this, but I believe that God has told me, make the decision, Rod, that you are walking out into a new life, into something brand new. And that decision I will stand with. And so there are times and seasons in our life where we need, maybe you're not like me, but there are times when I need a good swift kick in the pants. None of you are like that, right? You all just do exactly what you're supposed to do. There are times when I need this, and I feel like in many, many ways, see, it's funny because God will either use he will do it himself, or he will sometimes use my beautiful, wonderful wife, or use other situations, or use whatever it would be, circumstances, to give me that kick. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, I need that shift, that swift shift to begin to do it. I don't want to have to wait for that. Come on now. Are you with me? I want to walk into this next expecting something brand new. So here I'm going to give you four keys to moving forward into our next new. And I believe that it's always available to us. There's always, God is always speaking. Do you know that there's never been a time in all of history that God has not spoken? The only thing is that from the Old Testament to the New, we just didn't record it. Nobody was listening fully to pick it up, but God is always speaking, and he is always speaking life. It is the choice that I have to make in my own sense that no matter what the circumstances say, no matter what the situation says, I have to choose that God is speaking something brand new. He is speaking something alive. He is speaking something different than what we're seeing right now. Right? He's speaking something different even than we are hearing many times right now. And he is speaking words of life. So, Here are my four keys. Giving this, I'm like, God, it's going to sound like I'm a pastor asking for stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. And so just realize that this is something that I've done in my life even before I was ever a pastor. So here's the four keys. The first one is the power of helping, giving, and serving. That the power of serving will get us ready to move into the next thing that God is going to do. And that's not, we talked about it. I was kind of grateful that Pastor Claude got up here and talked about the fact of serving in the positions. But that's not just what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a heart, a servant heart. When I came here now 13 years ago, I walked into a place that baffled me. This church confused me. It baffled me. Because I looked around and I saw people that were so hungry to get into the house of God. And they had no time limits. They freaked me out. I walked in and I'm like, I'd seen a few things, but it was like, wow. And I'm not going to sit there and say in the midst of a pastoral staff meeting, boy, we have long services. Wow. Yay. Okay. No, but I wasn't going to do that. I'm just sitting there quietly going, I got to learn the culture of where it is. But when I grabbed a hold of it, wasn't long services for long services' sake. When I grabbed a hold of the passion that begins to be inside of you, that we worship, because I had someone, and when I first came, I remember they said, why do we sing that song 14 times? Do we not have another song that we could sing? And I'm like, I'm looking right at him, and I'm like, look, I love you, but you haven't caught it yet. We're not worshiping for us. We're worshiping for him. This is a transitional thinking, something that began to change, that my life in worship begins to serve the Lord. I don't show up here on Sunday morning going, God bless me in the midst of worship. It's going to happen. It happens every single time. But I come in going, Lord, I am here to minister to you. I am here to worship you. I am not here to put in my time today. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not here to punch my clock today. I'm not here to tick that off. I'm not here to sit there and do something so I've done my duty. I have come to be with others of the same heart and the same mind and to celebrate my Jesus with everything within me and look out and see what happens when we begin to do this. See, that's what I came to. This church that knew what it meant to fully help and serve and give. Giving. I mean, if... Again, you talk about, I'm good with the face. When something freaks me out, I'm pretty good at just holding my face. Just right there. Just right there. I don't usually go. But when I came here and they said it's offering time, the place erupted. And I was like, I'm confused. What's going on? The last church I was in, when they said it's offering time, securing their wallets, they were doing whatever it was, they were looking at me awkward. We wanted to talk about finances, but everybody got quiet. This place, you mentioned we're going to talk about finances today, woohoo! We get to give. And I'm like, y'all confuse me. And it was just what it was. In the midst of that, but that's not something that just a few people had. When I walked into it, it was contagious. And before you know it, I began to have, and I had a portion of that because I had been transformed. My mindset had been transformed down in Florida when I was at this particular church that we were at. And I remember it like yesterday, and please don't misunderstand me in this statement ever, because if you struggle with this, doesn't mean you have this. It did for me. But at the time when I arrived at this particular church, they did the same thing as you guys did here. They would talk. so long. It was like an extra sermon about offering. And you're like, what is going on? We were down there. And it used to bug the living daylights out of me. I would just sit in the service. Everything else would be like, hallelujah. Oh, it's offering time. And I couldn't tell you why. I didn't grow up thinking that way. But all of a sudden, I had an encounter with God one day at this church, this particular place. It was actually in a school that we were in. And it radically changed my life. And I actually had an experience that I could not comprehend because God delivered me right there and then in my seat. I was actually standing and I fell to the ground, actually. Just totally delivered. The next Sunday, I go to church. It's crazy. Pastor starts talking about offering. I'm like, oh, that's so good. Yes, that is so awesome. And I catch myself just being excited as everybody else did and going, what just happened? There's a shift that began to happen inside of me. And I'm telling you, I was always generous before that, but then it became a joy to be generous. This is what we want, generous. This joy of expectation. Because I believe that with all my heart that the power with helping, power of giving, and the power of serving, those three things, they transform us and they get us ready. See, and when I look at this and I think of a tomb mentality or I think of a cocoon mentality, a tomb mentality says this, serving and giving become like trying to get blood out of a stone. The lie of the enemy is that serving is stealing your time and that giving is stealing your money. That's what happens to the brain when we begin to have a tomb mentality. But this is what a birthing or a cocoon mentality is like. Serving is a gateway to new life, to new opportunity, to have the living God move through me. The truth is an emerging cocoon mentality is as I was born to make an impact to serve. It is just a vehicle to God to move towards me and through me that I have been preparing for all my life. Lord, work through me. That's what it's like to have this cocoon mentality, the expectation mentality. You know, another area you might look at as far as to think of a tomb mentality, serving feels like controlling, and unless you're making a big, huge impact, you lose heart in the small things. Now, that thing is dangerous. If you've ever struggled with this, you're not going to sit there and put up your hand right now, please, okay, in this. But it's something where it doesn't matter whether you're doing the smallest little thing in the kingdom or whether you're doing this great big thing. God looks at one thing and he looks at our heart, the motive that we have behind it. And when I turned around and I came here, And when we began to, even as pastors and leaders or whatever, I saw the pastors that I ministered to cleaning toilets, preparing for a conference because there wasn't anybody to do a certain thing, jump right in the midst of it. I seen them, like, not just with the pastors, but the leaders, everybody, just the whole church. Just, it was like you guys were fighting over who got to serve. It was the craziest thing I saw at that moment. How many of you want to begin to see that begin to happen again? And I'm not talking about, hear me now, about the fact that we need help, you know. That's not what I'm talking about. There is an intense joy that comes when your mindset begins to shift in, this is a great God opportunity. And Lord, I don't need it to be huge. I just need it to be what you're asking from me. Amen? See, when you're in a tomb mentality, these words, the words obedience and sacrifice seem to be about stealing and taking. You become focused on the fact that this isn't fair. So listen to me. I've had that come out of my mouth before as well in this. But all of a sudden, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. That stuff starts to come out of our mouths. We know we have slipped away from a joyful expectation mentality, a mentality of life. And a mentality that is godly, and we begin to shift really into a mentality that's going to kill us. I know that that's really drastic to say it that way, but this sense to me is this isn't fair. I don't remember ever seeing in the Bible that when you come follow me, everything's going to be fair. Did anybody have that scripture? And if you did, I'd tell you twisted it. Because I don't remember ever being told that. But I remember being told, come, Rod, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. let's go do something for the kingdom. And it doesn't matter, but when I begin to think about it myself, I begin to see that God is doing something right now within the midst of us. That he's moving our mentality to expect. He's shifting me because I'm always this way and I always ask permission and then I do it anyways and I don't know why I ask permission. But I'm going to be just brutally honest in this. I have felt a little stuck in the last little while, as I shared in the beginning. And then what comes to mind is a teaching class that I taught a couple of years ago about being unstuck. Does anybody remember that? And it's like, that was good. That was really good. We should do that again, Rod. You know, and it's something about walking in. But I'm believing that in this next season that there is an entire world around me that needs for me to not be stuck. Amen? That needs for me to grab a hold of that. Just the power that is behind helping and serving and giving. Okay, number two, it's the power of humility. Humility transforms us. And when I talk about humility, I think about it. If you look at 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 that we just talked about there, that first part of that verse is this. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That is a perfect description of humility, this sense of being an earthen vessel. It is much better to maintain my own humility than to have God introduce me to a new level of it. Yeah, I maybe need to say that again. It is better for me to maintain my own humility than for God to introduce me to a new level of it. You see, a long time ago, I gave him my life and I said, Lord, whatever it takes to correct me, to change me, to move me, to make me become more like you. That is an extremely dangerous prayer to say. However, it has been transforming and has changed my life. It's something, though, when I think about this, and I think, see, look, the scripture is clear about humility, that we are to walk humbly before the Lord. Really, if you look at Proverbs 16 and 18, it says this, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 11 and 2 says this, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. Wow, that's a strong word, isn't it? When I read that, it was a little bit shocking how strong that word was. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. You want to get wisdom in a situation? Humble yourself. Sometimes it's humbling ourselves and asking someone else who has more experience. Sometimes it's humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. I need your help. But there is this divine humility that that God gives us, but we maintain. You see, God and I have a funny, funny, funny relationship. Because when I start hearing myself use the I word a lot, or I hear the word saying, I deserve. None of you do this, I'm sure. I'm just going to talk to myself for a second here. You know, or that's not fair, or that's not right, or those things. All of a sudden, the Lord reminds me. And we've had lots of fun together with learning humility. And I'm going to share with you just a little story right now, just for fun. And I'm trying to see what time it is. It's 11:12. And this particular story begins with, I went out to with a friend of mine, and we went out to a restaurant. We like to go to restaurants together, and we're just sitting there talking, and all of a sudden, I realize that I think I just dramatically impacted some ladies. See, what happened earlier in the morning, it was a Tuesday morning. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. And I was in a hurry. Have you ever been in a hurry? You just grab whatever pants is lying there and you throw your pants on and you throw your shirt on and you run out the door. I should have been more observant because as I ran out or got in out of my vehicle, I'm going to try to be really, really discreet here, but a wind came up and like that's a little strange. Okay. I didn't even put the two together. I just, you know, thought it was really, really windy or something. And I went to intercession. Well, see, the days before I had been working outside. And I have these pants that I have that were almost done. But by the time I was done with them, they were done. I had You know where the seam, I'm trying to be polite, Pastor. And if you're a big boy like me, sometimes it gets worn out because you're working and you're doing stuff. Well, I put on the wrong pairs of pants. And there was nothing, no seam at all. And if you've ever been to our intercession room, when I'm leading intercession, I sit at the end. Everybody else sits this way, along this way. And I tend to sit in intercession like this. You would think I would notice. You would think. I couldn't figure out why a couple of our wonderful intercessor ladies were just looking me in the eye the whole time. And the story gets even more interesting because and guys, you'll know what I'm talking about. Boy, I'm trying, Pastor Jay. Donna was there. Donna was confronted, yes. So, but here's the funny thing is, everybody, you know, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to really be discreet here. But if you've ever had a, you know, bought packages of underwear and there's a certain color you don't like, you're all going, Pastor Rod, what is he talking now? You're on TV, buddy. Lord, help me. You usually take that color and you throw it to the side. It was not only just a quick laundry or a quick put on the pants day, it was the end of laundry day. So I grabbed those bright orange. Woo! And so I did not notice it the whole time in intercession. And these sweet ladies never said a word to me the whole time. And I go to get out and I'm late because I have to be there. I'm meeting this friend of mine and I got to get in the car and I got to get to the restaurant after intercession. And I go out of the car and again, a little wind. It's like, that's a little strange. And I go to get in the car. And as I go to get in the car, the wind really picks up and I'm like, what is going on? Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my. I was sitting. Oh. And I'm just like, I'm so embarrassed. But I'm in a hurry, and I was going to go back and apologize, and I don't have time. And I'm like, oh, my. And I have no pants to wear, and I got to be at this restaurant. So I hillbillied. I went and grabbed some duct tape that was in my office. And I duct taped from the inside. Yeah. And I have no idea where I'm going now. So anyway, I duct tape from the inside and I get there to go to the restaurant. Nobody can, you know, it's all good now. And we get there and I'm sitting down and I'm talking to my friend and we're chatting, have a great time. And I'm telling him some of these things. And I got to get up and go over to the facilities. And as I go to move out of the booth, the black duct tape decided to turn inside out and attach it to myself. So as I stood up, yes, you understand what happened. There was pain in that experience and the expression on my face like nothing I had experienced in quite a long time. It is very important that in this, I want to be humbled. And I didn't feel humiliated because it was just too funny in the end. And the thing is that when I go tell Karen these things, she does not intercede and pray. And she does not sit there and say, honey, I feel so bad for you. She falls on the ground and starts laughing. This is what happens. Yes, it's wonderful. But in this season, you see, it's better to have you humble yourself than God to bring humbling in there. And I don't think he brought humbling in there, but I tell you, that was extremely humbling in that moment. But there is a humility that draws people to us. Do you know what I'm talking about? There really is. Yeah, one that repels as well, that we got to watch for. But there is a humility, though, that is a godly humility. I have a phrase. Anybody know what my phrase is? I'm not all that in a bag of chips. And I have a great view of who I am. But I know that I have been bought with a price. And everything you see that's great in me is what he's done in me. And I expect him to do more. Anybody else with me? I expect him to transform me more. I expect him to change me more. But I am going to keep myself humble in this season. The third thing here today is the power of expectation. Expectation begins to transform us. There's this wonderful Hebrew word called tikvah, and it means, it's talking about a cord. And it's this sense, though, what it is. It's a cord, and it's the definition is kind of cool. It's a cord that's connected to something, but it doesn't tell you what. It just means a cord that is connected to something. And for us right now, my expectation is connected to what God is saying and not what I'm seeing everywhere. Are you with me? My expectation is what God is saying over me. I had an experience recently where the Lord began to talk to me about that I've lost a little bit of my expectation. Something happened, and my response wasn't, "So, Lord, what are we going to do?" My response was, "Well, I better get working hard because I'm going to have to fix this." And the Lord, it's kind of funny when God does this with me. He's like, "Do I stand over here then?" Or because there was this sense of I decided I was just going to fix this without him. And I had to ask myself, "So, Lord, why did I do that?" And the Lord and I had this beautiful conversation about some healing that I needed at that moment. And maybe that you need some healing in that moment as well, is that the expectation that he was for me and that he was with me. And he began to remind me of who he was and how faithful he was. But then he reminded me of this. It's a bit humbling and a bit strange to say this, but you've heard me say it before. He loves to call me Rodney. You all know me as Pastor Rod. But when he talks to me, he still calls me Rodney. He's like, "Rodney, I am so proud of you." And what happens when I hear those words at that moment, though, I do this. I recognize, Lord, something has happened. Because when I used to hear those words, I would do this. I just walk into that embrace. But somehow this long winter, this disappointment, this struggle, this frustrations, it caused me to go, "You can't be talking about me. You got to be talking about somebody else. This must be just my mind really wanting to hear those words." And then he turns around and says to me, "I couldn't be more proud of you." And I'm like, "Oh." But then it's funny because he says, "But this one thing, Rodney, I want you to expect again. Expect that you are going to live in the greatest move and the greatest revival that this world has ever seen. Rodney, expect that you will be alive and that you will be part of this and you will see this. Expect again that you will begin to see by the expression of your hands, by the sense of praying for people, I see begins to flash images through my mind of people beginning to be healed up here, to beginning to be healed out there, that you guys beginning to do all this stuff and me beginning to see the hand of God working through me. And before I know it, I've gone and done this. I've stopped moving away. And I said, okay, Lord, I don't feel like this is where I belong, but I know this is where I belong because this is where Scripture tells me I belong, right in the fullness of your embrace, right in the fullness of your expectation, right in the fullness of your expectation, ready to bring about something new. This is where we want to find ourselves, amen? This is where I want to be, but I'm going to be blunt with you. It doesn't happen unless we stop and say, Lord, I need you to come heal this. I need to just put this before you. I am angry, God, about this. See, we think that we can't talk to God like that. We think we have to be like, well, I'm going to say everything right and everything nice. Do you not think he knows what goes on inside of your brain? I know he knows what goes on inside of me. I had to sit there and go, God, I'm angry about this. I'm disappointed about this. And he's like, I understand. I have walked those roads before. Let me show you what to do. And he says, forgive them. He said, do you remember me on the cross? He spit in my face. Put me in royal robes, faking it out, making it fun. And what did I do? Instantly, before being asked, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness in this season will release you to a new level like you've never been before. And I'm not talking about forgiveness that's easy, right? I'm not talking about, you know, he wasn't very nice to me and I'm just going to forgive him and move on. I'm talking about the stuff that gets stuck. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Maybe none of you have experienced that stuff. The stuff that gets stuck, it seems like. But there is a God who can bring healing to that. He can bring restoration to that. And he can get us ready. And I think it's so cool that this word here, this word expectation, again, is a cord. But it says it's connected to something. My cord of expectation is not connected to what anybody else thinks. It is connected to only what my Heavenly Father thinks. And that's where I get messed up at times, when I start to let my cord be connected to what somebody else thinks, what somebody else thinks I should do, what somebody else thinks I should say, what somebody else believes, whatever. And I sit there and it's like, Lord, I am wrapping myself up in all of these things that are not about you. And so, Lord, I set my expectation and my faith, not what I could accomplish, because I know you know me and you know my failures, you know my incompleteness, you know my struggles, but I know you, Lord, and I know your faithfulness through everything. And I expect you, Lord, to birth something brand new in me. Amen. Well, I hope that you as well. And next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. We're going to talk about persistence. We're going to talk about, I'm hoping to talk about the fact of no parking. And you say, that's kind of a weird thing to talk about. I'm hoping to talk about no parking zones, only loading and unloading here. If you've ever been to the airport, okay, and we say, you're not allowed to park here. You can only load or unload. We're going to talk about all the things that God wants us to unload and load up on for this next season. Amen? Amen. Well, I bless you today. Just sit down and say sometime, maybe today or the next week, and say, Lord, what it is, I need you to heal my expectation. Something brand new that you're going to do. Here I am. Bring that restoration. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.